Ephesians chapter 6. Let's take our Bibles. On March 1st of this calendar year, I started the first sermon on the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And so today will be our closing sermon on this. Here in chapter 6, Paul has wonderfully, so clearly set forth this armor, these spiritual realities for every Christian. Paul has given it to the Ephesian Christians, obviously, but through the centuries, the Christians of all ages have been so helped today, right now, in this room and around the world, these truths in our lives. These are not just optional things for Christian living. They are foundational truths for the Christian life. Six aspects of the armor. Six pictures in a physical picture and the spiritual realities of them. Truth, wrapped or girded with truth, righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, faith, looking unto Him, the shield of faith, salvation, this helmet, this thinking, the truths that we have in our great Redeemer, and His Word as a sword, the sword of the Spirit, God's Word. Beloved, I'll say it again. I've been saying this week after week or through these months. No Christian should feel defenseless. None of us should feel defenseless. God is with all of us. And Paul makes it clear that our strength for spiritual battle is not complete with just those six aspects of the armor. He goes on further and speaks or closes with prayer. It's interesting, in some of the teachings you'll see on the armor of God, men won't even camp out at all on prayer. This is one running sentence here. This is the truth of God to us, for us. So may the Lord bless it. Let's stand today as we read God's Word, and then I'll pray. I would like to read all the text again. I'll go back to verse 10, and then today's focus is verse 18. So let me read this. This is the Word of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. Let me pray. Father, this is your glorious word. This is your teaching. This is your help to us. This is your mercy. Just as Jeff was saying, it's mercy. Lord, you're teaching us. You're speaking to us. You're equipping us. Lord, you give grace to your people. We can stand. Lord, we can have the strength of your might. Today, here, as we leave this week, we can walk in the full armor of God because you're so merciful to give it to us. Oh, Lord, teach us again from your word. Have this time, blessed Holy Spirit. Make us good hearers, good students of the word, and to walk therein for thy glory. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, no Christian can neglect prayer. Years ago, somebody that was in this church had said, I'm not sure I believe in corporate prayer. Mac and I remember that. Prayer and praying is mentioned over 200 times in the New Testament. I'm thinking, how can you read the New Testament, the Bible, but the New Testament? You either keep fighting and praying in the spiritual battles that we face, or you grow weary and you faint. You can't say prayer is optional. Prayer is fundamental. It's a part of the breath, the living of the Christian life. And so, beloved, right here in Paul's teaching, God's teaching on equipping us for spiritual battle, Paul speaks of one of the most powerful, or gives us one of the most powerful exhortations on prayer. You'll even see some footnotes in study Bibles that say this is the chief virtue or the chief characteristic of fighting the battle, prayer. It's an interesting way of putting it. Spiritual battle and prayer are necessary for you. You're going to be battling and you're going to be standing in these truths and wearing this armor as God has said to us, but prayer is absolutely critical in the battle, saints. It's going to come up in every aspect of life. Everything that we face. We're going to be constantly facing things. Always cast upon the Lord for mercy. And it's critical, praying is critical to how we battle against Satan and the host of wickedness against us. People get sifted all the time because they're not men or women of the Scriptures, and they're not men and women of prayer. And they get sifted. The Christian life is almost a fable to them. They don't walk in the truth and they don't commune with the living God. He wants communion with us. He gives us Himself. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He teaches us to pray. He's with us. And our battles are not for us to go, well, I'll get all this armor on and I'll go do it on my own strength. We can't think that way. We're constantly cast upon Him. Let me ask a sincere question. How can you expect to stand strong today, in this day that we're in, and prevail if you don't continue in prayer? You can't. You can't. As Hendrickson said, I was reading briefly, Hendrickson said, as we think about putting on this armor, and you're putting it on, thinking about it weekly, daily, it should be done, Lord, I'm going to wear this helmet of salvation. I want my feet shod with the gospel. I want these things, Lord, unto You. I want to live unto You. And so it's a living faith. It's a living armor. It's a living reality. You can stand. He gives us strength. He comes and meets with us in prayer. And we can stand strong in the strength of His might. So, beloved, this closing exhortation on prayer should be a great encouragement to all of us. To all of us. You're facing things today. You're facing things this week. You have battles. You brothers, you sisters, you have things that are heavy. The enemy is relentless against you, and we have to continue on in prayer. Brothers, you have to stand strong as men, being faithful, walking in holiness in such an evil day. Brothers, I speak to you. Sisters, you have to walk as godly women, women of virtue and character and joy and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do it through the strength of His Word coming into your life and the power and grace of prayer and His Spirit with you. And you young people, you have to be anchored in Him. You have to learn more of prayer. You have to stand strong against the temptations and the wiles of the wicked one, in social chaos and evil at all levels. Therefore, beloved, you and I must continue in prayer. Today, tomorrow, and the rest of our days. Now, as we've come to this verse 18, Paul's exhortation after this armor about praying is punctuated with the word all. I guess you probably notice that when we read verse 18, he uses the word all four times. Paul's saying something. It's pretty comprehensive in what he's saying to us and emphasizing. He is getting to the full aspect of the full realities of the Christian in prayer and how it is equipping and protective and helpful and strengthening in this Christian journey. Oh, beloved, prayer. That's okay if the Lord has us some Sunday, we come in here, we never get to the preaching. If we just spend the whole hour or two prayer, let's do it. Let's give ourselves to prayer. At the individual level, in your car, on our prayer meetings through the years, this church started with a few months of prayer before we actually met on a Sunday. Let us go on with our great God in prayer. Four aspects here that I want us to look at that Paul gives us. First, when are we to pray? When? He says at the beginning of verse 18 in the King James, it says praying always. The ESV says praying at all times. There's the first use. Praying at all times. Oh, beloved, prayer is not some formal, preset thing. Every now and then you'll see athletes or people that are invisible in the media, and you can just see they have this little pattern of prayer. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about real, true, from the heart communion with the living God and Savior. Religious men do formal prayers. We don't want in on that. We're not about religious events. We're about spiritual realities. And yes, there's a reality in terms of we're a religious gathering, if you want to call it that. But we're not men of prayer and women of prayer because it's a religious pattern or requirement. That's not what he's talking about. He says praying at all times is about the living heartbeat of the Christian. Prayer is an ongoing activity for us. Sometimes it's five words. Lord Jesus, please help me. Sometimes it's five words. Sometimes it's 50 words or 500 words or 5,000 words. But no matter the length, it's real communication with our living Savior, our King, our God, our Redeemer, the one who is the closest of friends, the one who walks with us and talks with us and leads us in the way, gives us grace in this hour that we live in. Prayer. Praying at all times. I mean, this man, Paul, was living it constantly in prayer. Must have been incredible when Luke would be able to have been with him. What they would have shared or ultimately prayed about. Wow. So, beloved, we're not talking about praying at all times with some sort of a pattern, some sort of a dead ritual. We're talking about life, the heartbeat, communication, pleading, asking God to come, looking to Him, trusting Him, worshiping Him, believing Him. So everything about spiritual warfare, in the ultimate sense, has to be covered in prayer. You can't take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, without also trusting Him to give grace in how you use it. Sometimes the moment happens like that. You need the grace of God to speak it with great clarity and with great reality and faith. Other times you have preparation for a battle that's coming, a meeting, a conflict, an individual, something that happens that you have to, but you have to commit it to prayer. You have to be cast upon the Lord. In the fierce battle against our adversary, you and I need to be very quick to call out to God. What we don't need to have the attitude of is, I've got this. Boy, that's a statement in our day of men. I don't think as I was a boy I'd ever hear that. I've got this. No, actually you don't. God has it. It's the strength of His might. All these great things of the truth and righteousness and all these things that He's been giving us, they come from Him. He gives them to us. He gives us this salvation. We're in the gospel of our dear Savior. We have salvation. We have the Word of God, but we need grace and power from on high to walk therein. And so we're cast upon God through prayer. We're asking Him, Lord, help me. Our adversary is coming in different ways with different schemes, and we need to be covered in prayer. Some mornings when I wake up, I typically wake up before Krista, and I try not to wake her up, but I'm laying there, and oftentimes I just put my hands in there. Oh, God. Today is yours. I'm frail. You kept me through the night. Lord, there's things today I could be hurt by. I could be deceived by. Lord, come. Give life. Give help. Give wisdom. Give grace. Give discipline from above. Lord, help. It's real, beloved. It's not a pattern. It's not forced. It's not a little technique we learn. It's real communion with our God. Here's what David said. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Let me keep going. He says, and I'll cry aloud, and you or he shall hear my voice. Listen to what's the context here? He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Oh my. There it is. There's the context. David is asking God morning, evening, noon, crying aloud. God will hear his voice and God will deliver him in the midst of the battle. You hear that, brothers and sisters? You hear that, young people, college students? God hears the cries of His people and He gives grace and strength. He'll part the waters in your life too. We talked in our prayer group the other night on Wednesday about God opening the Jordan. God wasn't just with Moses, He was with Joshua too. That's what He says to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, I'm with you. And then He takes them just a few chapters into the book of Joshua. He takes them through the Jordan River. God's with us. Our God is with us. He's for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have to go with Him. And so communion with God, prayer to God, has reality that He's with us. Oh, we could share today of realities of His deliverances and His mercies. Just as David said, He hath delivered me, delivered my soul in peace. What did Paul say to the Roman Christians? He says, be patient in tribulation. That sounds like hard things were going on. What's the next phrase he says? Be constant in prayer. Patiently enduring, going through hard things, enduring tribulation, conflict, battles, lies, deception, wickedness, whatever you would want to call it. But he says, be constant or be continuing in prayer. Magnificent realities to this. You may be walking to your car as we leave today thinking, Lord, I want more of this. Teach me this. Help me with brother so-and-so. Help. You see, beloved, it's living. It's breathing the realities of love of God, love of Him, love of truth, love of His ways. Be constant in prayer, praying at all times, these phrases. The Christian, you and I, beloved other Christians we know, we pray through the day many times, many ways, in many circumstances. Every now and then some of these ladies will talk about they were with each other and they were praying at the parking lot at Walmart or somewhere. Amen. Sometimes you'll be having fellowship at lunch or an early morning breakfast with the saints. And all of a sudden you just go to prayer. Sometimes we'll hear of a need. It'll be those, you know, the WhatsApp, things that come up, and we'll just stop and go to the Lord in prayer. You see, beloved, we are to be constant. We're to be continuing. We're to be pressing on in prayer. It's not a superstitious thing. It's a constant awareness, a constant reality that God is with me. With me. He's with me. Contrast the superstition of men versus the constant realities of prayer for the true Christian. Contrast these. 2009, Chris and I had that delightful trip through Europe. And we got to see these great countries, you know, great meaning a great history. And we would oftentimes on the tour go through these cities that were back in time, almost frozen in time. And they had chapels and cathedrals and religious buildings. The greatest architecture in the history of the world is just religious structures. You don't have to do any real research, trust me. But what are men striving for? They're reaching out for some spiritual thing. Why am I here? Where is He? Those buildings don't commune with God. We commune with God. We're not talking about superstition. We're talking about reality. This thing of reality and prayer. Those chapels, they have people by the millions deceived that you come there to cry out to this God, whoever He is. No, no, no. We leave the dead buildings full of dead men's bones, sometimes literally buried under the floors. And we would leave those, and we're walking to the van, or the big coach, as they called it. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, thank you that you don't dwell in temples made with hands. You're with us. Oh, my awesome realities. You go back and read the Spurgeon autobiographies. Read about his times away when he would go to try to get better health. And then he would see these pieces of archive. And how he would see God is with us. It's real. It's a living, active faith. It's real prayer. We don't want dead religion. I've heard council meetings and other things where somebody prays, and it's as dead as a load of wood. Unbelievable. And then every now and then I'll be at a meeting, or through the years I'll be at a council meeting, and some council member down there will launch into prayer, and I'm thinking, I'd like to know that guy. That guy knows God. Because he has reality. He knows the living God. So first, be constant, or be, as Paul would say, praying at all times. Second, what do we pray? He says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. So we're praying at all times, and we're praying all prayers and supplication by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. We have a comprehensive approach to prayer. Not categories. Well, this gets big enough. This one's gotten big enough that we need to call God on this one. You know, this is a big enough issue, I need to call my attorney. I can handle all these things. No, all prayer and supplication. The Christian has a comprehensive, full-orb view of prayer. There are big things and there are little things. That's why it's sometimes awesome to be around children, particularly if you sense those children have come from death to life. They're in Christ. To hear the children pray. They teach us that nothing is off limits. Jesus spoke to people like this, that we ought to come to Him like little children. We ought to come to Him today as little children, even as Jeff was exhorting us, as a Savior, a God of such mercy. Why do we get to where we think some things are too little for Him? Oh, beloved, nothing is off limits. You need grace today in so many areas. I do. You need to be asking Him, increase me in this area. Increase my faith. Increase my understanding. Give me grace to walk humbly. All these things. Big and small things, beloved. Paul uses all prayer and all supplication. That's a good point to think on. Praying or prayers and supplications. You'll see that some of the explanation. Praying deals with everything in the broadest sense. Praying. Prayers. Oftentimes more general. You're not getting into particularly the detail, but you're praying, casting your needs, casting your petitions or your desires before God in this full way. And here in the context here of what Paul is dealing with, it's in this context of battle or conflict, striving, the work of the... And so prayers are these full heartbeat of the Christian. Again, more general. The beginning of a day, some of the things that you're going to face that day, you don't know what they're going to be, but you're cast upon God. Such things like this, prayers like this, Lord, deliver me from this situation today. Help me. This seems like a very, very difficult thing that I may be facing. Lord, deliver me. Guide me. Show me your way. These are, you see, beloved, this is how we pray. Now on Wednesday nights, we pray sometimes with a big view of things, and then sometimes we get down to the nitty-gritty, as they say. God has it all. He wants it all. He wants our heart cast upon Him in all things. You parents, for your children, go to Him all the time, day after day. Your God, your children need the living God, and you need the living God to speak to them of the living God. If all that made sense, if you follow me, you need God in everything that you're about. Praying's not just for the men, it's for the sisters, it's for all of us. And you have to be praying in all situations. Lord, keep me from that which is evil. Sometimes when you travel, sometimes when you're going in new places, you need grace. You say, Lord, I don't even know what's ahead. But the things that you'll see that come at you, things that you're around, phrases that you'll hear, you're asking, Lord, look, keep me from evil. Keep my steps. Leave me not in the paths that would be of the way of the wicked, right? Deliver me, guard me, turn me away, and He will. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you just a sense right then, I need to stay out of that situation, totally. I sometimes sense, and even still in work-related things that come up, I either need grace, I need wisdom to pull back, not be a part of it at all, or grace to know how to speak a word of truth into it. You see, beloved, praying, this thing of all prayers, all of them, asking God to keep us, direct us, have us, uphold us, lead us. But then he says supplication. All prayer and supplications or petitions. This gets to very specific needs. Again, if the heartbeat of the Christian is prayer, constant communion with God, it deals with big things, like taking a road trip tomorrow and taking care of my dad. And it deals with specific things along the way. Needs. Specific things that come up. things that you're facing, things that this week could be escalated that you need much grace and much help from God in. And we call out to Him for these specific needs. Read the Psalms. David gets very specific. The needs that he had, the needs that were in his life, the troubles, the hardship, the difficulties, the enemies in his life that he faced. You and I call out to God. Lord, give me victory over the enemies, deception, things that are deceiving. Lord, give me grace, give me clarity, how to sort through this, how to see it and just run away from it. Lord God, come, turn away my eyes and my paths from fleshly, worthless things. That's very specific. You turn your computer on, you use your laptop or whatever, ask God to purge everything out of your way that would harm you. You get it, beloved? We're in a battle. You have to live in such a way that your life is set apart unto Him and we're looking to Him to keep us. We cannot be careless. Restaurants have garbage going on. Airports have garbage going on. Retail shops have garbage going on. We cannot be careless. We need our eyes protected. We need our ears protected. We need our thoughts protected. Oh, it's right down where we live. You could be somewhere and you say, Lord, give me grace right now. I need your direction, your escape, your help. Things like even this kind of a prayer. Father, keep me from the schemes of evil men and their snares. In the business world, it's amazing the schemes and the plots of men. It really is. And the attitude and the spirit which is ruled ultimately by the wicked one. Men that don't walk with Christ, they're under the influence of the wicked one, Satan and his host. And therefore you and I need grace to walk in His strength and in His wisdom and in His path. We need a plain path set before us. We need to walk with our God. And He will lead us. Oh, beloved. You and I leave here today with more of a full orb commitment to all prayer and supplication. What does it mean to be calling out to God? Trusting in Him. Yielding our life. Yielding our days. Yielding our thoughts. Yielding our lives in so many ways. And doing it in the Spirit. Trusting in the power, in the leading, in the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Feeling and knowing His presence and His purging, His cleansing, His guarding. Oh, saints, look to Him. Pray to Him. These are not just little pattern prayers. Little, I do this, this, and this, and this always happens. It's cast upon Him. Cast your care upon Him. He will keep you. He is keeping us. That's why we're here today, by the grace of God. We're kept, and we need to learn more and more of how to pray for that keeping power. Number three, what is our mindset in prayer? Go back to the text, right in the middle. In watching thereunto with all perseverance. With all perseverance. What's the mindset? It's to keep alert. I think the ESV uses that word, doesn't it? Alert. To be alert. And to persevere in prayer. Prayer is not a casual thing. I mean, one of the lies of the last 15, 20 years is that Christianity is just bobbing along on the water. It's just this casual, cool thing. It's a lifestyle. Out with that idea. Christianity is to be born of God. It's a miracle to have the Holy Spirit in us. And we're walking with Him and us, taking us on through this world, ultimately to His eternal kingdom. The power and the grace and the reality of the Holy Spirit with us. And therefore we have to keep alert. We are not in just a casual stroll in this life. We're in an all-out battle. And so we have to be watching, alert, be on guard with this persevering mindset in prayer. I think sometimes we make prayer just such a secondary thing, or even worse, we barely even think about it. You get caught up in things that you're trying to sort through and decisions you're trying to make, and that can be true for us if we're not careful as elders. What's next? Where do we go? What's ahead? God says, come to me. Come to me. Look to me. Trust in me. Be persevering in prayer, looking unto God. You get it, saints? You hear what I'm saying? You have to be alert. You have to be aware of the need and the continued dependency on God, on our great Savior. I mean, you think about it. I could probably ask Clint. Clint, where are you, brother? I saw you while ago. There you are. I could say, Clint, tell me a little bit about the when you were with those men, when you were on duty, you were overseas. Is it casual stuff? Hardly. It is deathly serious. Soldiers have to be very attentive to what's going on around them. Otherwise, they can be absolutely overtaken. They can be ambushed. They can be ruined. They can be taken captive. This is the same language in the Christian life. If you're not on alert, if you're not careful, if you're not watching, you're not keeping your eyes and your ears open and your continued heart before God, you can be ambushed by the wicked one. The things that will come against you, the thoughts that you'll begin to hang on to, the things that will begin to rule in your mind, the things that you'll turn on the computer and see and be around, which will rot your soul. It's a battle, saints. It's a battle. We have to be attentive. We have to be on alert. It's not casual. Sometimes, and I was telling Krista this yesterday, one of the properties that we have, the garage, they have all that weightlifting equipment. And sometimes when I'll take Jesse back home, the garage door will be open. Those guys are in there. They're moving those weights, man. They're getting after it. It's like the Holy Spirit says, Philip, you've got to be a good, disciplined man. Those guys are learning whatever they're learning about weightlifting, trying to take care of their physical body, I guess. But what? Remember what he says? Bodily exercise profiteth little. It's helpful. But what does he say next? But godliness is profitable unto all things. The whole thing about the Christian life, every aspect of it being surrendered and holy and devoted to Him, it's profitable in everything. How you view everything. We've got to be alert. We have to be persevering in prayer. We have to be committed. It's got to be a part of the heartbeat of our day-to-day walking. We can be overtaken. You can feel it sometimes, the subtlety of things. I mean, now it's so blatant in our society, it's not much subtlety left today. I mean, evil is flaunted everywhere. I mean, you could say this in the American culture, it's just simply cool to be evil. No, it's not. A Christian knows that to please God and to walk with God, it's surrendered devotion to Him and to His holiness and serving the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of our life. That's living. We could say to any group, at any place, at any time, you really want to live, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in Him. And therefore, once you're in that life and we're walking with Him, it's about persevering, continuing with Him. Hearing His voice, knowing His ways. Haven't you had this happen? You were maybe on the path of your day, you were about to do something, you could be going somewhere, and you just sense God says, not there, not now. I've actually said this. I've walked in a store or a place before and just turned around and walked out. I just felt like this is something not right here. I just trust the Holy Spirit. We're not being mystical. We're not just trying to be bizarre. We're talking about walking with Him, walking in the Spirit. And therefore He'll lead us, He'll guide us. That's what He says. That's what He does. He'll guide us in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. He does do that. He'll take you to the right places, keep you from the wrong places. He'll teach us how to use technology in a holy and God-glorifying way. Yes, technology can be used to the glory of God. But there's a large portion of it that's garbage. And I just need to tell you again. I need to tell myself again. Stay away from the garbage and take in that which is holy and pure and good. We could just take these walls down and say, let's get some bigger amplification going here. Let's get those college students and those college students at TW and just let them sit in the parking lot and let's just let this truth go. Things that are rotting the lives of people, ruining them, holding them captive, and they're dangerous for us too. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. If all we get caught up in is, I've got to know more about the gospel, and I've got to understand about this hymn of salvation, and we're not people of prayer, it's not going to go real well for us. That's what Paul's trying to make us. And he goes on and says, and be praying for me. Well, you're Paul. You got it all figured out. Look at his begging them, in a sense. And pray for me. That what I say will make known or will declare the gospel. No Christian can be overconfident. We can't wake up tomorrow and say, I've got this one today, Lord. You go help so-and-so. I'm on my own. I've got it. No, saints, we're always cast upon Him. Sometimes we feel it more than others. We ought to be just own it and be real with about it. We ought to go about our days and the use of tools and equipment and stuff that we're involved with. We ought to do it with a form of a holy caution. Lord, keep me. The enemy is crafty and cunning. And when you are dull, you are vulnerable. Sometimes through the years, the pastoral visits will reveal in just the sincerity of being with God's people, they'll say, I'm just dull. Well, I'll tell you what, it's the time where you're really vulnerable. How do I keep myself from being dull? Give yourself to the means of grace. His Word, His people, prayer, all that He's told us to be about. But dullness puts you vulnerable and lazy and careless. And you won't be watching or being on alert. Prayer, just having a heart for prayer, keeps you aware of need. I need the Lord. Lord, I need You. I need Thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, I need You. I need my thoughts purified. I need the way I speak to others today to be purified of You. So real. So much where we are day to day. Daniel was aware that evil men had set a trap for him, right? All of you, your children, remember the story with Daniel? These men set him up because Daniel prayed to his God. And so they trapped him, if you will. So what did David do? I'm sorry, not David, Daniel. What did Daniel do? Oh, he just took some time off. I'll tread lightly. No, he did not. He persevered in prayer. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this is Daniel chapter 6, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, or like he had always done. When the stakes got more challenging and more difficult and the threat of death came his way, he didn't back down at all. He sought the living God. He persevered. He went on with God and the grace and the power of God. Let me take a moment here and just read a gleaning on this truth. Persevering, continuing in prayer, but particularly being on alert, being aware of constantly. John G. Payton, mid-1800s, missionary to the New Hebrides. This book, as I've said before, like many of these books, different men will bring up here, these are literally gold. Forget whatever Fort Knox or anybody else has. This is gold. And you'll go into this journey with him and you'll see the deliverances of God. God with him in this and this. But it wasn't casual. It wasn't one of those, yeah, every now and then God delivers me. He lived constantly with a spirit of prayer and dependency upon God. Let me just read. Children, I want you to hear this. You talk about dangers near and far. But my enemies seldom slackened their hateful designs against my life. Ultimately, the enemy is Satan. However calmed or baffled for the moment, meaning however calmed or baffled he might have been, within a few days of the above events, the previous pages, when natives in large numbers were assembled at my house, a man furiously rushed on me with his axe. Forget the wasp, Jeff. This is much more dangerous. An axe, but a Kasaramuni chief snatched a spade from with which I had been working, and he dexterously defended me from instant death. One of those men actually got in the middle and stopped the man coming against him. Now listen to this. Life in such circumstances led me to cling very near to the Lord Jesus. I knew not for one brief hour when or how attack might be made. And we easily pillow our heads at night. We're just not worried about axes and people coming in after us. He pillowed his head, living in Christ Jesus. And yet, with my trembling hand clasped in the hand of the once nailed on Calvary, and now swaying the scepter of the universe, this Lord Jesus that he put his hope in, keeping the whole universe, his calmness and peace and resignation abode or stayed in my soul. Does anybody write like that anymore? Let me keep going. Next day, a wild chief followed me for about 4 hours with his loaded musket. And though often directed towards me, God restrained his hand. You have somebody follow you to the parking lot, and it's weird. It's pretty spooky, actually. This is a guy following around with a loaded musket. I spoke kindly to him, and I attended to my work as if he had not even been there. I was fully persuaded that my God had placed me there and would protect me until my allotted task was finished. Looking up in unceasing prayer to our dear Lord Jesus, I left all in His hands, and I felt immortal till my work was done. Man, saints, we read this. We got to know more of this. This is glorious. Trials and hairbreadth escapes strengthened my faith. And it seemed only to nerve me or strengthen me for more to follow. And they did tread swiftly upon each other's heels, meaning the next trial, the next difficulty. Without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my dear Lord and Savior, nothing else in all the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably. Did you hear that? He just was conscious. He was aware of the Lord with him. Listen to this. His words, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," became so real that it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. I felt his supporting power, as did St. Paul when he cried, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me." It is the sober truth, and it comes back to me sweetly after my 20 years, that I had my nearest and dearest glimpses of the face and smile of my blessed Lord in those dreaded moments when musket, club, or spear was being leveled at my life. Oh, the bliss of living and enduring as seeing Him who is invisible. John G. Payton, living and walking with the great God who's ours today. Our God, our King, our Savior. Beloved, when trials are intense, our praying must be intense. It's never the time to shrink back. It's more and more cast upon God. When things are hard, trials, difficulties, the work of the enemy, casting our burdens, our cares, our petitions, our needs upon our great God. And finally, the fourth way Paul comes to prayer. Who else do we pray for? Each other, all the saints. He says there at the end of verse 18, "With all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We're not in this alone. You are not the only soldier in the battle. Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Sometimes the fellowship of the brothers or sisters feels a long way away in the battle. But we need to be reminded that we are in this together. We need to be lifting each other up. We need to be interceding for each other. Not just on Wednesday nights, which is such a privilege to get to do that, but weekly, daily. Tomorrow, if God brings to your heart a brother or sister in need, struggling, battling, go to prayer right then. Mac is really good at this. He's lived this for a long time. He constantly is exhorted since I was much younger. When God brings somebody to our hearts, be praying for them. We don't know what's going on with them right now. You might leave today and you might be driving home and all of a sudden Paul Washer is very much on your heart. Or some James Jennings or another brother near or far, and you may think, "Lord, just be with them. Give grace to them. Give joy today and strength and protection." We have fellow soldiers in the Lord Jesus Christ and they're facing intense attacks. Dan Sims and people like that, dear laborers on the front line. When John G. Payton was living this, walking with God in such difficult times, Spurgeon's in England preaching the gospel, and not everybody thought he was great. He had battles, he had enemies, he had liars and deceivers against him. What this man was battling in prayer and hoping in God, Spurgeon was doing the same where he was. The point being, every Christian in every place needs grace and help, and we need to be praying for each other. We need to lift each other up, praying, or he says here, supplication for all the saints. It's a privilege to get to pray for each other. Some of you could probably tell stories of neighbors or people you work with. They finally come to you and say, could you just pray for me? I don't even, oftentimes they might not even be a Christian. maybe the beginning of God's fixing to awaken. The seed has been cast, or it's watering of the seed. God's fixing to bring it to life. Sometimes they are Christians. People asking you to pray for. Yes. Beloved, let's not pray all our prayers just for ourselves. Is that, everybody get it? We ought to be instant in prayer, right? Constant, but we can be continuing to pray for each other. What a privilege, what a honorable thing to get to do that with each other. We need each other's prayers. You see this in the New Testament. And Paul's saying the same thing here. In verse 19, we need each other's prayers, and it's seen in New Testament living. Jesus prayed for Peter when Satan aimed to sift him, didn't he? Jesus said, I prayed for thee. And he did. And Satan was rescued, and Peter was rescued from Satan's devices, and Peter became that man that God used mightily. Jesus prayed for him. Peter prayed, the same Peter prayed for the saints that were dispersed or scattered abroad, didn't he? He prayed for them in these different places. He prayed. He lifted them up. He was constantly in prayer for the different Christians. Some that he'd met, probably many that he'd never met. The saints prayed for Peter. And got surprised that he shows up and knocks on the door. You remember the scene there in the book of Acts. So Peter prays for those scattered abroad. He says in his letters, and the saints were praying for Peter. And God opened the jail, and he comes and joins the prayer meeting. I'd say that was a pretty nice prayer meeting that night. You see, beloved, when we pray individually and corporately, God is with us. It ought to strike people. Wait a minute. These people are people of prayer. Yes. We shall be, and we will continue to be. Paul prayed for all the churches. The Apostle Paul. You see, beloved, constantly, we need to remember the brethren at Grace Life. We need to be remembering the brethren in San Antonio. We need to be praying for the beginning of that work in Oklahoma. We need to be praying for the churches in Sedalia and Kirksville. We need to be praying for the churches in on and on and on. Many churches that some of you have come from. We don't even know those brethren. But you need to introduce more and more of their needs to us so we can be praying for them and vice versa. For all saints. Beloved, it should mark our prayers that we are praying, a people praying for each other. All the time. Needful. There's decisions that some of you are going to make this week. And you're not even sure where to turn in it. Do I go this way or this way? It could be a decision on a career, money, a next step. Some of you might end up being going and launching into this missionary support work, Lebanon, other places. We ask God to open and direct and rule your life and protect you. You see, beloved, it's right where we live together. We need to know how and what to pray for each other in our privilege of journeying together. We are all facing a relentless enemy who is wreaking havoc across our land today. Do not see it at the surface level. Behind all the chaos and some of the things that David Catalon mentioned, behind all that is the lying schemes of the wicked one. And we need to be very discerning and very careful where we're picking our battles. And be mindful of what it means to persevere in prayer. Be very alert, praying individually, our families, our needs, and for God's people in this hour. Lord, help us. Let me wind down. Saints, spiritual warfare in the armor of God involves prayer. We could have finished those six pictures of armor, those pictures Paul's giving, and we could have closed that out and felt like we had all this outfit all clear, and we would have missed such a huge theme or a point that he's making about the battle. Prayer. Let this be a boost to you. Husbands, wives, parents, single people, different ones, different places. What's ahead for you? Let this bolster your dependency and your communion with God through prayer. How to walk, how to live, how to battle. Praying at all times. Being quick, being instant, being alert, to the need of the hour and being quick to pray with all prayers and committing all things to Him and the details, supplications, Lord, help in this area. Specific areas. Persevering. Having a long-term view. I'm going to press on in this. Don't be lazy. Don't be careless. Don't get relaxed. If ever this church is going to be more given to prayer, it should be in these days. Beloved, we have to give ourselves in prayer. And lastly, the privilege that we have to pray for each other, to lift each other up. Can you imagine Paul praying for those different churches? The Roman Christians who know of Paul, they so much want to meet him and he wants to, praying for them. Can you imagine that? It's just magnificent. It should stir our hearts. More, we want to be like that. We want to walk in these realities. We want God to teach us how to pray and how to do it with faith and joy and grace, and that He'd give power and help. Beloved, continue in prayer. Let's, by His grace, go on in these truths. The full armor of God. May God help us. This series doesn't end. This series just simply come alive in a new way. Let's walk therein by His grace. Let me pray. Father, unto You is all the glory and praise. You are worthy of all. You've spoken to us. You've given us Your word in this theme, spiritual battles and warfare. And You've instructed us here, verse after verse, now on this theme of prayer. We couldn't go on, Lord, without the realities of this truth to come and speak to us, Lord. Thank You that we have the privilege of prayer. Men ought always to pray. Just over and over in the New Testament, they committed themselves to prayer. Before they would launch men out, they would commit them to You in Your grace and Your power to keep them. Before they would preach to people, they would pray. When they would gather in hard circumstances, they would pray. When they would gather during the week, they would pray. Lord, these truths are so real, so glorious. Let us be imitators thereof. Let us walk in this reality. Help us, Lord. Quicken Your people that we'd be more in prayer together with You and for each other. Lead us, blessed Redeemer. Triumph in our day. Use us for good. Let our lives be spent for the glory of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Thank You. Amen.